If you're struggling to attract new staff or your team is experiencing burnout, pick up your phone and call Guardian Vets. Through virtual team solutions like after-hour triage, daytime virtual receptionists, callbacks, and telemedicine, Guardian Vets can help you have happy staff, happy clients, and a thriving business. Go to www.guardianvets.com and check Veterinary Success Podcast in the Where Did You Hear About Us section to get a free consultation and receive 50% off your first month of service. Don't wait. Check out guardianvets.com now.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Veterinary Success Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Douglas, and I'm excited that you're here. And with that, we're going to jump into this week's podcast here in just a second. We're going to hit up our sponsors that help make the show possible. There's lots of companies that I believe in that I think help veterinarians across the board, whether it's find a job, hire talent, become more efficient in their practice, all those things, right? So these sponsors mean a ton to me. So I know a lot of people will fast forward or skip through them. But if and when you're looking for help and some of the solutions they offer, I would highly, highly encourage you to check them out. And so with that, no further ado, jump into the ads and we'll get right into the show. So thank you for listening and enjoy. We all know as a practice owner, one of the last things you want to think about is tax planning and strategizing for your practice. In addition, the long list of tasks on your radar, it's really hard to do everything. You have to find a trustworthy team of experts that understands the unique and specific needs within veterinary medicine. My suggestion would be my friends at Granite Peak Associates. Granite Peak is an advanced tax planning and veterinary practice advisory firm who has spent many years working within VetMed. Their team works year-round to make sure you're able to maximize your profitability while also minimizing your liabilities. Whether you're in the process of purchasing a practice, looking to grow your practice, or transitioning towards the sale of your practice, they are the experts to help guide you through. What makes them different than other firms is their devotion to proactive tax planning. By thinking into the future and creating long-lasting relationships with their clients, Granite Peak can help minimize the amount of taxes paid over the course of many years to come. Head over to their website, granitepeakcpa.com, to receive a personalized comparison of your practice financials against over 140 other hospitals that they've worked with. You'll be able to see how your practice ranks, where you stack up, and where the opportunities are to get better. From there, you can schedule a one-on-one call with one of the members of their team to review and analyze your results. The opportunity speaks for itself. You need someone on your side. Granite Peak Associates is that team. Take advantage of their innovative expertise within the veterinary industry.
If you're struggling to attract new staff or your team is experiencing burnout, pick up your phone and call Guardian Vets. Through virtual team solutions like after-hour triage, daytime virtual receptionists, callbacks, and telemedicine, Guardian Vets can help you have happy staff, happy clients, and a thriving business. Go to www.guardianvets.com and check Veterinary Success Podcast in the Where Did You Hear About Us section to get a free consultation and receive 50% off your first month of service. Don't wait. Check out guardianvets.com now.
Finding a job or finding a veterinarian shouldn't be a waste of time. Enter an Offer First. Paul Diaz and team have created something really special with Offer First. Some of my favorite reasons are as follows. Candidates and employers will both have values aligned on the first step, not the last. The sign-up process, quick and simple, no resume required. So if you're looking for a job, but you aren't really sure, it's as easy as scrolling on Zillow for a home. And finally, if you have a great match, it's based on your each unique requirements, not random keywords. If you want to learn more, listen to episode 179 with Paul Diaz. We cover all of that. The other exclusive great thing that you're going to get from this ad read and from Paul is I convinced him to give an exclusive discount to listeners of this podcast. So for owners, you're getting a 20% discount on both the placement of any candidate, but also access to the platform. Use VSP if you go to Offer First, or the easiest way is a link in the show notes. So check it out. Associates, those looking for a job, same thing. Use the link in the show notes. Use VSP if you go directly to Offer First. But I will donate and Paul will donate to a veterinary nonprofit of your choosing. So each person that signs up gets a vote. Your votes actually count, which is incredible. And so I'll be reaching out. I will handle that. But there's going to be a donation made for any associate or any job seeker that adds on the platform. We want to make sure that not only does the platform help to make sure that you find a better fit, better culture, better role, but it's also doing good in veterinary medicine. Okay, so link in the show notes is going to take you to Offer First. It's going to automatically apply that, but also use code VSP if you go to Offer First directly. and OfferFirst is changing the game of veterinary recruiting. I want each and every one of you to benefit from it, so check them out today. Discover the nation's fastest growing practice management software. Who, you might ask? It's my friends at Shepherd Veterinary Software. Founded by a practicing veterinarian, Shepherd is easy to learn and works the way you work. Shepherd automatically updates the medical records, adds services to the invoice, generates discard instructions, and so much more. It's time to bring home more stories and less stress. Learn more today at www.shepherd.vet. Hi, everyone. It's wild. We are almost a quarter of the year gone. And I was told when I was younger from some elders that every year speeds up and it gets faster and faster. And I can tell you it truly feels that way. Maybe it's the changes that have happened in my life, but also having two young kids, I think that's part of it. But yeah, absolutely. 2024 has flown by. And I have some awesome guests that are coming up, some which have never been on, I think, the podcast circuit just in general, which will be exciting, I think, to have some of those folks in the industry. Handful of second-time interviews, I think, will be really, really enjoyable as well, with some people that they can kind of build on what they've shared before and some changes, updates from that standpoint. So exciting there. And I'm still sitting with the concept that bounces around in my head around the private practice disconnect between buyers and sellers. And again, I know it makes the rounds. We see it all over LinkedIn and Facebook groups in different spots. But episode 223 with Dr. Jeff Stepanek and his daughter, Liz Montgomery, the Buy My Dad's Vet Clinic. The conversations before, after, and during that podcast, I still think there's an idea that needs to be done. And I'll share it with you, perhaps, if someone wants to pick it up and run with it. Ideas are easy and cheap, and being an idea person isn't that great. It's the execution of it and making it happen. So if someone wants to do it, run with it. If not, maybe I'll be able to get to it at some point. But we need to have someone that goes and basically interviews and chats with these single doctors or doctor and a half practices where, you know, maybe it's a part-time or a relief that's there consistently and then can't sell, right? And basically go to them and say, I'll do an evaluation. I'll tell you what I think I would pay for this. And not the, hey, here's the evaluation expert's opinion on top dollar of what it's worth, but how do we think this practice actually can move and someone will sell it to you? And I think you have 50 to 100 of those conversations and you build out a roster of, hey, we've signed an NDA, we've done whatever, but this is the valuation, this is where it's at. And then you build basically a case to young veterinarians, hey, in this state, here are the three or four opportunities, this is what you can make, you know, net of your loan costs and all these other things, this is what the deal would look like. And you get their buy-in up front of kind of what that looks like, what the opportunity is. And then alongside that, you offer to guide them through the process, provide them skills, tools, the relationships they need, the legal team, the industry connections, the CPA, the whatever they need to go through that. And all of a sudden, you pair these two together and it's magic because there's buy-in on the seller of what they will actually sell the practice for. Hey, this evaluation, this is how you're going to get paid. On the buyer side, they understand they can do it, how to do it, and what they will pay and what they can make from it. And what are the opportunities within the practice? Like highlighting, hey, you will do these things really well. Right now they refer all that stuff out. So here's extra revenue. Here's ways to improve the practice. And then making that kind of marriage from there. The issue today to me that I see is brokers only represent the seller. They have very limited relationships with the buyers. And truly there's no one on the buyer side to really support. However, these practice owners desperately, or so I'm told, want to sell their clinics, right? So I think getting their buy-in and making sure that there's alignment before you really even go to the part of spending either of these veterinarians' time, these doctors' time, is the way to do it. So I don't know. I think it could save a lot of money as well in different costs and fees and different things. I don't think it necessarily needs to be a percentage of the sale. It can be, hey, here's my time. It's a flat cost. It's an hourly thing. I'll do this review and then it's a portion up front. Perhaps it's a portion at the close. I don't know. I'm spitballing here, but this just keeps bouncing around in my head that there are opportunities. There are people that want these practices. They just don't know how to get the connections and make it happen. And again, I get you might be thinking, hey, that's what brokers do, right? It sounds a little bit like that, but I think it would structurally be done a little differently and be done a little bit more relationally. And actually, I'll give credit to Paul Diaz because I think it's a little bit of kind of his idea with OfferFirst of getting the buy-in up front and getting the money stuff, which is the complex piece, out of the way, and then coming to the actual nuts and bolts after. Versus going about it in the wrong way of looking at the practice, thinking about it, and then being like, oh, I don't know, maybe. And then you get to the end, you're like, oh, well, it's the money thing, and I'm not ready to sell it for that or this or that. So that to me is a really good opportunity. Someone should solve for it. I think there would be some really cool benefits to the industry and some really great stories to share. So now on to the show for today, which I keep talking about WBC and the conversations and stuff there. And I promise at some point I'll shut up and move on. But unlike a lot of veterinarians, much more of an extrovert and get energy from these events, stimulates ideas, thoughts, actions on my end. And I think what I want to cover and kind of chat through is like this topic of failure. And I've had a couple comments recently about how well networked or knowledgeable, et cetera, I am within the industry as a non-DVM. And again, you're obviously very flattered when a friend and a veterinarian writes, one of the best examples of this I've ever seen, and replying to a post, has been the genuine grassroots effort of Isaiah to understand vet med from the ground up through his podcast. After years of genuine interest in the field, he understands it better than just about any CFP, CPA, JD, MD type service provider out there. Again, huge ego boost, stroke, feels great. And then the next thing is it's, you almost feel like, ugh, can I live up to that compliment? And I think for a lot of people, and me included, you feel a little bit like, yeah, you can't. So it's one of those things that as a farm kid, as who Isaiah is, past CFP, now the Bitcoin guy, right? I had a text recently from someone that's like, hey, we should get together and we should have lunch. I know you're the crypto guy. And I'm like, ugh, not the crypto guy, right? It's Bitcoin, right? There's a big difference there. But again, I think it's one of those things where how do I know the amount of information about vet med, right? Like I've spent and been intentional about it, but I've worked exactly 0 days in a clinic. But it has been something that's been intentional and been sought after since 2019 to ensure, as I was an advisor, right? My mind was, if I talk to any veterinarian around the country, I want to make sure that I am an advisor. I am a person that they're going to meet, including any of those that were advisors that were previously DVMs, right? I can provide them more value than anyone else. And that was really the genesis for doing the podcast, right? Was to learn and then share that learnings and knowledge with those around me. So it's great when you get recognition like that, when you have someone that writes kind things. We all need it. It's good. But I think we also need to remember it's great to dole that out too. You know, spread some love and let others know like, hey, I've really learned a ton from you, or you're crushing in this area. And I think that is really cool to see. But as I mentioned, it's easy to feel like those compliments like that where you're like, ooh, do I really know that? Am I fraudulent in any way from that? But I think the big thing is you have to understand where someone comes from and all the different things that have happened. And so internally, we have all these experiences and we have a lot of different failures that then build on top of when you hear a compliment like that, you're like, ooh, well, I've messed up all these different times. I've done all these different things. There's no way that that actually fits. But I wanted to just kind of review those and be open and share it and kind of go through. So one of my favorite quotes before we kind of jump into that is one from Winston Churchill. And I think this podcast has success obviously in the name as well, but we talk about it a lot. And a lot of times it's easy to put people that have done a lot, you know, on this pedestal. And there's the saying, you know, never meet your heroes. But one of the things that I really love from Winston Churchill is this quote called that says, success is the ability to go from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. I've tried not to let failure dim my curiosity and desire for future learnings, which has led to me to feel like I can be successful in spite of all these failures. And so when I look back on failures, it's easy to keep an internal scorecard that can haunt you, to limit you, to feel like, oh, I can't accept that compliment from someone online or this praise of you did a great job because of they don't know about all the things I messed up on, all the ways that I failed. And so I just wanted to kind of say, hey, here's my story. This is where I've come from. This is the things that I've done. And it's humbling to reflect on it. I think it's important for everyone to kind of do this. But shoot, it can build to things that are really great. So I grew up poor. I know some people listening to this have grown up a lot poorer. So I always frame it with my parents did the best they could. But I think that it's one of those things where, yeah, I mean, we definitely were of meager financial resources growing up. And I think part of my blue collar, hard work doesn't kill me attitude and just being independent at an early age is part of that, what I saw. And we definitely had the, you know, hand-me-down life of everything. Nothing was really new, lots of siblings. And it was definitely a scarcity mindset around money, but that helped spark for me why I wanted to learn about it, because I didn't want to go through those same struggles as an adult with my own family with different things.
And that led me to want to save and invest and learn, and eventually led me to Merrill Lynch, where I started as a young kid with an MBA. And side note, tangent bar here for a second, is talk about a waste of money. For any DVM that's thinking about getting their MBA, it's not worth it. Just go do something and you'll learn a hell of a lot more, because so many MBA programs are not built for what I would call, it's not even small business, but it's like enterprise level. And that's not really what you want in the knowledge for DVM. So just save the money and go invest it in yourself doing the work, right? And but back to, I arrived at Merrill Lynch 2015, young kid with an MBA, didn't have the money connections that other new hires had. I didn't come from money or private school or a big alumni network. I went to a community college for 2 years, transferred to get my bachelor degree, worked my way, you know, 30 plus hours a week through college, and didn't have a college fund. I paid my way through. So my role when I was hired was A, to either bring in new money and bring in new clients and revenue, and or get your CFP. And it was kind of both. Quickly, through God's grace, the boss that I had kind of noticed, like, hey, Isaiah, I don't think you have the right connections and running the right circles. How about you take the 25% of the crap that I hate off my desk, you work on getting your CFP, I'll go out and get new business and we can make this work. And it did, candidly, because he already had the relationships, he already had the connections, and it made more sense for someone that had gray hair to go out and say, hey, if you have a lot of money, you should come work with us, versus the kid that at that time didn't have a beard and really looked like he was 16. It's really difficult to try to convince someone that has been wildly successful in their 50s and 60s to come move their millions of dollars to you as a fresh-faced kid that was still learning.
If you can improve the health of an animal, you'd do it, right? Of course. That's what makes veterinarians special. You're mission-driven. My friends at LifeLearn are the exact same way. For over 25 years, they've been partnering with you and your peers, providing affordable, customizable online software solutions. These solutions save time, increase efficiency, and assist in managing all aspects of operations. Why? They want to help you improve your partnership with pet owners to improve pet health. LifeLearn has award-winning digital media solutions and are leading the pack as they've prioritized having extensive veterinary knowledge throughout their teams. That difference is seen, it's heard, and it's read by thousands of people across the country. Relax, grow, and thrive with LifeLearn. Click the link in the show notes for an exclusive offer to see how LifeLearn can allow you to get back to what you do best.
So did that, and the program really was tied to kind of those two things of getting your CFP, hitting some team metrics, which was important from the team perspective, but a lot of it was bringing in business, and those that saw a lot of praise were those that were able to drive revenue, but a lot of it was their parents were connected and it was friends and family or these other things that I just never had. And so it was really easy to feel like, well, dang, I'm a failure because I didn't meet that criteria. I got through the program because I basically was back in school studying for my CFP and taking some of the admin and busy work and some of the back office stuff that the advisor needed to do from a notes or reporting and all this other stuff, but wasn't the fun, glamorous stuff. And so it was easy to see others get recognition and be like, yeah, I'm not that advisor. So prior to Merrill and moving to Indianapolis, my personal life had a 4.5 year relationship dissolve, and truly heartbreaking, right? I think a lot of people will talk about heartbreak in their life, and I literally physically could barely function for days after everything went down, and it was horrible. And the scars don't leave someone. It's a learning lesson, and you grow a lot, and it felt like a major failure. You know, how was I as a person who was 100% convinced and would have done anything in the world for this other person, that she'd be my wife, we'd raise kids, we'd have a family, all that stuff. It was just gone. And I would say, if I think about lowest moments of my life, right there, candidly, biggest setback, just everything shattered, right? Everything I thought in my mind, like, hey, this is what the future's going to look like. It was gone, absolutely gone. And the months after that were rough. And I had a good friend group outside of some nights going with guys drinking, kept me out of trouble and didn't spiral to where I still could accomplish things in the future. And I am thankful each and every day that God put those people around me, because, you know, it could have ended a lot worse. And I've seen people go through things and they do spiral and they get addicted to other things. I wasn't someone that had those problems, right? I think I can have an addictive personality, candidly, and that's partially why I've stayed away from a lot of things that I think would get me in trouble. And that's a part of knowing yourself. And I just don't put myself in those situations. So I leaned on those people and they cared for me and supported me and didn't subject me to, you know, bad advice. They just were like, hey, you got to pick yourself up and focus on the things that you can control and continue to move on from there. And it was huge for me to have those support networks and family that helped me personally, but also professionally, just continue to move forward. So that happened. I go to Indy, I go to Merrill, kind of go through that. So it's just a lot of stuff going on. And then I left Merrill in 2018 after getting married. And again, God blessed me with a wonderful woman and my wife, Emily. She accepted me for who I was, which was amazing, right? And then to have someone that would encourage me and be the best version of me and help me truly mature and become who I am today, right? So I thank God that it worked out the way it did, right? Again, some of those blessings, those failures, those setbacks are things that are not in our plans, but it ends up working out in our favor. And so having two boys, to me, as a man, as a father, it's like the best gifts you could ever have. And I left Merrill about the time that I was actually going to make some real money. So I kind of went through this program, got my CFP, and I was like, finally ready to start making decent money. And I basically go to scratch and fight to maybe make like 30 to 35K for a couple of years and start your own firm. So again, God blessed me with a wife that was understanding. And I completely self-funded it through, draining my Roth IRA that I had saved up for to launch the business. And we lived really frugally and, you know, got the financial planning business off the ground. And I launched my business alongside other folks that people around the country through the same kind of network that were awesome. They were great, encouraging, you kind of feeling the same struggles, same pain. And I think that sense of community, I hear that within VetMed is needed. And I would encourage folks that organized veterinary medicine is a great thing to be able to share in some of the similar trials and tribulations and challenges. It's good to be connected. And it doesn't always have to be locally. Like a lot of these guys I would jump on and women would jump on a Zoom call and they might be in California and I'm in Indiana, but we're dealing with similar things, right? These situations and how do we troubleshoot it? What are we using? And so just carving out time to do that is super, super important. But one thing I noticed is it's like, man, I feel like I was working just as hard as some of them. Felt like I had a really good idea and I'd done all these work and they were like, oh, look, like learning stuff for me all the time. And I was like, oh, look, but then they were more successful, right? More revenue, more clients, more things. And it was like, dang, this is rough. Now I had made a specific effort to be dentistry and then veterinary medicine focused. So I wanted to work with dentists and veterinarians and the vet med part really took off as the sole focus in 2019. And I didn't relent on that. I didn't give up on that, where a lot of them were just like, hey, I'm working with business owners or young professionals or whatever. So it was a broader net. And so it was easier for them to pick up clients early on. But for me, it was a slog. It was a slog and it took time. And I think if you are a niche provider, even within veterinary medicine, it can take longer to really hit traction if you're doing something different. If you're just a me too, hey, I'm here basically the same as everyone else and pricing slightly different and we're going to say we're different. But if you're truly trying to change the way that you offer care, it's going to take a little while for people to understand that there is a difference there. And then during the 2020 craziness, I was introduced to my old business partner and merged my business with his. As you know, and I've talked about this at length, the veterinary part of the business was my focus as long as running things behind the scene and kind of from a management perspective. The veterinary business was really starting to blossom and grow and really explode. Even though I'd started in 2019, it was until 2022 and then really into 2023 where it really started to take off. However, there was a major failure behind the scenes in the business partnership. And I had so many people say, oh man, you're crushing it. You're killing it. You're doing amazing. I had another advisor that I respected that was like, hey, if I could invest in one RIA, it'd be yours because I know you're going to grow this huge firm and do all these great things. And again, it felt great. But when you know behind the scenes, like, hey, this partnership, this marriage is broken and it's not going to last, it's hard. And I had to come to terms with that. And I want to, again, it was just such a weird and difficult period and a hard period. And I had to come to terms with going back to clients and basically telling them, hey, I failed. I messed up. I chose the wrong person to go to business with. And now I have to leave. And thank you for everything, but I can't keep doing this. And that sucked and it still does. And it's not fun. And I've been fortunate to have a lot of people say kind things and reach out, but genuinely cared and wanted to be the person that took care of veterinary medicine from a financial planning perspective. And I had to give that up. So again, that failure was hard. But if I look at it, the silver lining is it's worked out best for me, both from a family, from a financial, from all these different perspectives. It's so much better now today than what it was. And again, I look at it's a blessing from God that I was able to find Swan and I already knew about Bitcoin. I'd done a ton of work and it just bolted on at the right time for a position that was a perfect fit for me. So lots of things that have been created out of failure to align me and be ready to take advantage of those in the future. But the failure part is what led me there, right? And shockingly for those that listen to this show, I've actually tried to start 5 other podcasts and 4 of them had failed miserably, just never got any traction. Some were with other advisors and had some fun with it. Some was Bitcoin education. One I tried to do with a partner in dentistry. And obviously there's this one. And major failures, threw them in the bin, said, yeah, this doesn't work. And realized it just wasn't getting any traction and there was no momentum. Where this podcast has kind of, even early on when it felt like no one was listening, there was success where it was encouraging to keep going, right? And so I've saw that, hey, these other failures, I just got to pull the ripcord and move on. I've tried my hand at creating courses, as I've told you and even talked about on this podcast, right? People have said, hey, your Bitcoin knowledge is so good, you create a course, I'd buy it. Well, guess what? No, they won't. So I tried to create these different courses due to these different things for both veterinarians and financial advisors around Bitcoin and like helping them get it, understand it better and more nuanced and detailed than what I can do on a podcast episode. And all I ended up doing was spending hours recording content and creating a course and a couple $1,000s and got no attention and ended up just kind of blowing the money and the time and it never really materialized. And that's okay. I'm not complaining. It's one of those things where it's like, shoot, I tried it. I thought it would work. Thought it would be great. And it didn't work. Chalk it up to learning. We move on. I know if I ever have a course or have something I want to do in the future, I can know the platforms, how to do it, how to set it up, how to think about ways to make that work. And yeah, I don't think I'm going to do it anymore, but it's still there. I've learned a lot from it. And so all that to be said, I still get compliments and we'll take, and I'll go back basically to the kind post on LinkedIn that I've been successful. And candidly, I appreciate that. And I believe I've been successful as well, because if I go back to the Winston Churchill quote, right, I've not lost enthusiasm. It's not like I've said, oh, woe is me. This thing didn't work out. And so obviously I'm not cut out for this. I think that's part of it. That's part of the struggle, is to just remain optimistic and have confidence in yourself. Again, not ego. And I had a post recently, the ego thing is a killer, but you have to have confidence that you are worth it and you have this knowledge and you have a unique thing to give to your stated industry, right? You can do lots of good things. And I've had a ton of failure. I've had really hard times financially at points, right? Where it was like scraping, candidly, emotionally, super stressed about things. But I've learned an absolute ton and I'm only 34 years young, right? I plan on living a long time. I'm going to do a lot of things in my life. And I think the core passions are Bitcoin and vet med. And I'm going to continue to bring those worlds together and have conversations in both and do things in both industries. And so the knowledge that I've accrued through all these different failures and all these different things I've tried to do, that just compounds, right? It's just like wealth. It's like, it just grows into the future where if you do a good job at saving, man, you fast forward down the road, it gets so much easier. The snowball gets rolling. And that's where I feel like I'm at. And I'm not trying to lose enthusiasm for trying the next thing. I'm not afraid to go and try another business. And maybe it's, I put more money in and it blows up in my face again. That's fine. That does not mean that it can't be successful just because I haven't been successful with certain things in the past. And I think that's important, again, on the vet med side, is like, you can try something, it doesn't work, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a you thing. It could be that situation wasn't right. And I think it's important to remember that as we think about people leaving veterinary medicine, leaving the industry because of, you know, poor leadership or the bad role or this or that. It might not be that veterinary, it might be that situation. They just need the right opportunity to come along. And so if you're spinning all the plates and you're trying really hard and it's a slog, you got to move on. And it's hard to realize when do you double down and put your nose to the grindstone and you know, work hard to get through a tough period versus just always quitting. And I'm not advocating for just quitting, but you need to, and this is something that I'm still learning, right? The fine line of being persistent and also not just trying to race against the wind when it's just not in your favor. And it, no matter how hard you try, it's not going to work. And there are times to put your head down and work your ass off. And there's times to admit you failed, wasn't a good idea, it's not working, and move on. Cut your losses. And still learning that. But it is something that is hard to know, but you start to get a feel for it. And I think I'm slowly starting to get a feel for it. So in vet med, in the makeup of most veterinarians, you've been trained to be perfect, right? You had to be really a great student to get into vet school. You get highly trained and you always know the answers, which translates really terribly to the real world. When you experience both personally and professionally, things are hard and it's messy and there's a lot of gray area. You will fail. You're going to make a ton of mistakes. And it's hard sometimes when those mistakes are life and death, right? And you deal with that. And that's not something that I've had to deal with in the roles and the companies and things that I've done. And you'll learn and grow from those moments, even the ones that are really painful. And I go back again to the example I gave earlier on the personal side. Very painful, learned a lot from it, right? And I believe you will too. And I don't want people to continue to just depict the safe route that will eliminate the most failure moments. you cannot do that because it's going to limit you so much. You can't be the, well, I don't want to do XYZ, so I'll just refer it out. I can't own my own things, so I'll suck it up and work for ABC. You have to at some point stretch yourself and push to see. And you can and will make mistakes. And maybe it is going to cost you money. Maybe it is going to set you back. But you also are going to regret it much more if you just never do those things. And I want you all to ensure that you don't regret not allowing yourself to try the thing that you were meant to do. I never thought 5 years ago I'd be doing what I'm doing now. And I'm so grateful because it's way better than I would have ever imagined. And I think that's super, super, super important. And a lot of you probably feel the same way. There's probably things that you've done. You're like, I never thought coming out of vet school, I would be doing this. And that's great because if everything worked out to plan in my mind, going back 10 years ago, my life would be way different. And I don't know if I would like it because I've changed as well. And that's a good thing. So remember that success is up to you and you determine that. In that failure, you can just reframe it to simply learning. And again, the quote from Churchill rings true. Success is the ability to go from failure to failure without losing your enthusiasm. So again, it's a quarter way basically through 2024. And let's go make the rest of the year really, really strong. Lastly, if you like my harebrained crazy ideas at the beginning of the episode, ping me. If you think it's terrible, someone's doing it already, ping me, tell me, because I want to support someone that's doing that. Any feedback on this episode, failure in general, I really appreciate everyone for listening. Again, this podcast has been a ton of fun from the beginning. This episode maybe is cathartic in a way for me just to be like, hey, I feel a little bit like a fraud when I see people saying nice things, and it's internally hard for me at times to deal with that. But I do have the confidence and know that I can do some things and be helpful. And I think ultimately that's my goal and my mission, right? Is again, these two passions of my professional career being Bitcoin and VetMed, of like, how can I go be a small part of just improving things? I just want to be part of it. I don't need to be the guy. I want to be part of it. And so I think having that kind of attitude and being gracious will go a long way. So anyways, it's me rambling at the end, but what else is new? Appreciate you all. Until next time. Talk soon. Thanks for listening to today's show. The comments made on today's show should not be taken as investment, tax, or legal advice. All comments are for educational purposes only. However, you are intelligent enough to make decisions for yourself. So I do encourage you to dig in, learn for yourself, and not just outsource every decision that you make. You should talk to your professional team if you have one before implementing anything that I talk about. But also make sure they know what they're talking about. Push them, question them. That's healthy. That's okay. Oh yeah. And you should probably own and learn a little bit about that Bitcoin thing. The biggest compliment you can give to me is to share the show with a friend or the podcast if there's another episode that you really like. That helps folks find it. That helps it grow. Reviews are critical. The Apple Podcast is the platform that's predominantly used for how people find the show. So if you have 3 minutes, love the show, please head over. Give us 5 stars if you believe that's what we earned. That would help more people find the show. Also, if you're new, go to YouTube. It's a channel. Putting up all the videos there as well. Sometimes it's going to be more interactive. Other times it's just going to be the conversation. So vainly, I want to get 100 subscribers so I get the vanity URL. That's the goal. We're on our way, but not quite there yet. For all of today's links, information, head over to veterinariansuccesspodcast.com. There you can also subscribe via your favorite podcast platform so you won't miss any episodes in the future. And finally, if you'd like more information, insights, or have the ability for your voice to be heard, join the Facebook group. You can search for the Veterinarian Success Podcast on Facebook or head over to veterinariansuccesspodcast.com. Scroll to the bottom, about your host, click on the Facebook icon. And thanks again for listening. I appreciate you. All right. So there are a lot of great job postings that I want to get to. And so we're going to start off with Bayside Hospital for Animals. Great work-life balance in beautiful Fort Walton Beach, Florida. No weekends. Monday to Friday, 8 to 5, no on-call or emergencies. It's appointment only here. Currently a 2.5 doctor practice, new owner in 2021, bringing some fresh life into the hospital. The new owner had been there for 6 years prior working, so definitely understands the team, the processes, and the community. Lots of investment in people and new equipment. ProSal is the pay structure. Far too many benefits for me to list. Email baysidevet251@yahoo.com or call 850-864-1857. Join a thriving, growing small animal practice in Vermont on the Quebec border. Full-time ideal, part-time is considered. The idea is to start with yes with the team, patients, and clients in outdoor woman's paradise while being able to practice high-quality medicine. Compensation is write your own structure within production capabilities. Literally, it is the owner wants to find the right person and is happy to negotiate, chat through, and find the right fit. If you want autonomy and a boss that enjoys teaching, reach out to Newport Veterinary Hospital. You can email newportveterinaryhospital@gmail.com.
North Central Indiana, looking for an oasis in the chaos. Who isn't, right? Come join the amazing team at Fulton County Veterinary Clinic. They strive to foster a fun, fast-paced work environment while providing quality patient care. They utilize the support staff efficiently so that the doctor is available to practice medicine and do what you're trained to do in less time and paperwork, which is great. Lots of investment in new equipment and technology to support you, full-time or part-time available. Small animal and exotics are both seen there, so no ER, no on-call, no weekends, competitive salary with sign-on bonus offered, and far too many benefits to list. Go to Fulton County Veterinary Clinic. So type that in and you'll find the job posting there. Last but not least, join Watertown Animal Hospital. Personable, small animal veterinarian wanted for well-established current five-doctor mixed animal practice in northern New York, which is an outdoors person's paradise. Again, two of those. So if you like the outdoors, you can look at Vermont or New York. They have plenty of support staff with six CSRs, six licensed technicians, four animal caretakers, two technical assistants, hospital assistant, a practice manager, and a bookkeeper. Focuses on mentorship and investment on the people and the technology. That's been a strategic initiative by the leadership team. No on-call, 24-hour ER less than an hour away. Salary based on experience, but no less than $95,000. Can be straight salary, pro-sal considered. Want to discuss that with the right person. Tons of benefits. Again, too much to list. Please reach out to WatertownPetCare.com for that option as well. So again, if you find a role or a job or talk to anyone and it helps you in any way, I would love to hear that feedback. So please reach out. Let me know what you're able to do. And I will continue to post these. So if you are an owner, reach out to me, let me know. And we'll go from there. And until I hit a capacity of I can't keep recording these, I want to let people know who are high quality owners around the country looking for great help. So with that, we'll talk soon.